Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, into the 9 o'clock hour we go. All right, so Seth,
very excited about tonight.
I am too. Excited. The more you and I chop it up during the breaks and looking at, we got John Harris's best available here from the Harris 100. We'll look at that in a second. But we've got a few, at least two that I found here, little day two mock drafts that have been put together in the last several hours. Yeah. You know, once round one ends, they take a look at the best available, they take a look at the board, and these experts say, here's how we see it playing out. Now, before we get to the Texans, I will say one thing. The two that I have here, I have one that's Dane Brugler with The Athletic, who's excellent. He's really, really good. And then the other one I have is from CBSSports.com from Chris Trapasso, who also does a good job for CBSSports.com. The one thing that these two mock drafts both have in common, and again, they start with the 33rd pick today, and this is on the heels of you and I playing audio of C.J. Stroud just kind of flipping out over Ricky Pearsall going off the board. He really liked the wide receiver out of Florida. And C.J. muttering to himself, that's all right, we're going to get a wide receiver. I think that Ladd McConkey and Adonai Mitchell, McConkey from Georgia and Mitchell from Texas, are clearly the two best wide receivers on the board. To the extent where the Texans at 42 probably won't get either of these guys. I thought that before looking at these mock drafts. Dane Brugler's mock drafts, 33rd pick, the Buffalo Bills, Adonai Mitchell. Yeah. 34th pick, New England Patriots. Oh, my God. Ladd McConkey, Patriot as it gets from back in the day. Trapasso, same two players, just flipped around.
Oh, really?
He's got McConkey going to Buffalo and Mitchell going to the Patriots. So at least with these two experts, clearly these are not only just the two best receivers, but the two best players available.
The part here that gets interesting is exactly what's the personality profile and all of the stuff, or the medicals, all the stuff that the teams have that we outsiders do not have. That sometimes throws things into flux, and that it might not be as simple of a slam dunk for whatever reason with those two guys, based on whichever information that isn't public, you know, beyond the combine scores and the production.
Conkey's had injury issues, and we had that weird thing with Adonai Mitchell come up in the last week to 10 days with his diabetic diagnosis, and it affects his mood.
He was right. And I'm like, oh, Jay Cutler made it long enough as a moody diabetic. Yeah. I did always wonder with Jay Cutler, is it just a matter of, can we get this blood guy sugar? An insulin pump? Does he have not resting bitch face, but resting diabetic face?
I think he has an insulin pump because there was a story from back in the day where somebody, at like the Pro Bowl or someone pushed him into the swimming pool and he had his insulin pump on.
Ooh.
Jay Cutler. I'm pretty sure that was him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you trust that he took care of and maintained the insulin pump appropriately?
No. After watching Very Cavallari? No.
I don't know. Watching Very Cavallari, I got more the impression he's not hypoglycemic. He just does not like people.
Yes. So let's do Dane Brugler's mock draft first. So I mentioned the two receivers, Mitchell and McConkey, go 33 and 34. Let's skip down to number 42. And by the way, Johnny Newton next off the board. Cooper DeJean goes off at 35. Johnny Newton goes off at 38.
I feel like he's just going off his big board here at this point.
Kool-Aid McKinstry goes off at 39. So a lot of these guys we've been talking about are moving off the board.
Patrick Paul, the offensive tackle out of Houston, University of Houston, goes to Washington at 36 in this, for those of you, which is a little bit of a... That might be where Dane Brugler is a little higher on Paul than a lot of other people.
Maybe.
But the upside of Paul is... The upside of Paul is very much there. It's just he's a lankier. He looks like he's still got some maturing to do in terms of the way. Sometimes big lanky kids don't move like adults just yet.
Right.
Paul's got a little bit of that in him. So the upside is there, though.
Edrin Cooper goes 41 to the Packers. So that's a lot of guys go off the board that you and I have been sitting here talking about this morning here. Before we say who the Texans pick at 42 in this mock, I will say this. If Nick likes any of these guys... like that we just named, as much as we like them, he'll trade a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick to move up five spots and go get him. I have no qualms about that. Like, he will go, if he likes a guy enough at this stage of the draft, he will go get him.
I think that the way this scenario is playing out, though, where there's wide receivers going earlier, like, he's not going to be, I think...
pushing guys
I think
down.
Defensive backs and defensive tackles is my guess for what he's focused on in the second and third round.
Here's what Dane Brugler thinks. With the 42nd pick in the Dane Brugler Day 2 mock draft, the Houston Texans select Mike Sainristil, cornerback, Michigan, who is a really good slot cornerback.
My immediate thought there is, well, they already have a slot corner with Dez King. And then I remember, oh, yeah, they cut Dez King last year and then brought him back. It's not like Dez King is like the long-term plan or solution at slot corner. Because Sainristil, I mean, he's tiny. He's a slot corner. Like, he played like 20% of his snaps on the outside when he was in college. Mm-hmm. But he's a nickelback.
Yep.
And which is awesome. You need a nickelback. And I don't think that the presence of Dez King would prevent them from bringing him. It actually gives, because Dez can play on the outside or inside.
Sure.
So it does give you a lot more versatility and depth. I would be A-okay with this
one. I'd like that pick.
Yeah.
Yep, I'd like that pick. The other players that were on the board there potentially that I think Texan fans, the next pick was Chris Braswell and Edge from Alabama. They're not going there for Edge guys, I don't think. Enos Rakestraw from Missouri. Keon Coleman, the wide receiver from Florida State. Max Melton, TJ Tampa, Andrew Phillips, who I know the Texans, I think, have had Andrew Phillips from Kentucky for a visit. So these are all, that's three straight cornerbacks who the Tech, Chris Jenkins.
Yep.
So there's a lot of guys on the board right there that go in the next seven picks. Let's skip down, though, to the 59th pick overall. This is Dane Brugler of The Athletic. And with the 59th pick in the Dane Brugler mock draft, for day two tonight, the Houston Texans select, you're going to be happy. Mike Hall Jr.
I like Mike Hall Jr. a lot.
Defensive tackle, Ohio State.
I think that he's a guy...
Braden Fisk still on the board, by the way.
I'm telling you, this group of defensive tackles is really... I think people's values and ratings on them are going to be all over the board. There are a bunch of guys that are totally worth the second-round pick. And... I think it comes down to personal preference almost, like what you're looking for, what kind of upside versus what kind of ceiling. Michael Hall Jr. is a guy that I look at, and A, he went to Ohio State, so they're going to have a good rapport. They're going to have a good level of intel from him, from CJ. I feel like CJ would either gush about him.
Yeah, yeah.
If they ask CJ, he'll either, and CJ will be like what good college coaches do. He'll either gush about a guy or... he's not going to insult a guy, but he might just not gush as much.
Yeah.
You know, like how he was just gushing about the wide receiver, Ricky Pearsall.
Yeah, Pearsall.
But with Michael Hall Jr., the thing that intrigued me was that you listen to him in interviews, and you're like, okay, this is a bright guy.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he's also the best trash talker on the team.
I like that. Yeah. That means it's intelligent trash talk.
Right, yeah. So there's
a chance for some really good burns.
I gotta check my notes to be sure I don't have that crossed over with somebody else.
Yeah.
As far as though, but I think that he plays with that little bit of lust for violence that you know I like to see out of guys.
Yes.
Like he's got a badass side to him.
Yep.
But he's not as fluidly athletic as some of those other guys like Braden Fisk. But he does a lot of the little stuff the right way. He hasn't produced and stacked up stats the way some other guys have.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if, like, back half of the second round or in the third round probably makes the most sense for him. But I do like him a lot in terms of, I have a hard time thinking that he won't work out and be a productive player in the NFL. I just don't know if he has the ceiling of some of those other guys.
59 feels about right to you,
yeah,
for him.
Yeah,
59th overall. All right, let's do Chris Trapasso's here. Chris Trapasso's mock draft for the two second-round picks the Texans have. Again, as I mentioned, he's got the two receivers going at the top of the second round, McConkie and Mitchell, in that order. A lot of the same names. Braswell going to the Cardinals. He's actually got Keon Coleman going 37th. Neyland going there at 38. You skip down. Let's get to the Texans at 42. I think there's going to be some happy Aggies here with the 42nd pick of the Chris Trapasso CBS mock draft. For tonight, the Houston Texans select Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M. Here's a quick blurb. Mini off-ball linebacker run here in round two. Yeah, he's one of several. As D'Amico Ryans gets a young and athletic second-level defender in Edgerrin Cooper to fill the void left by Blake Cashman leaving in free agency. We actually had a text from somebody right here saying they got to replace Cashman.
They got to replace. Well,
there you go. Trapasso just replaced him.
I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly what. I've seen so many people, not just people on the text line, but like draft people, act like Alshire doesn't exist.
Right.
They replaced him.
They upgraded.
They replaced Cashman with somebody that D'Amico likes better.
Yeah.
Like, D'Amico gave kind of a tepid response when asked a question about Cashman late in the season last year. And Cashman did, he got injured, but he also fell off in some respects towards the end of the year. And like the linebackers got really victimized and exploited by the Colts, especially. It's just the Texans won the game, but the linebackers got exploited. Alshire is that guy. So I don't know exactly. I don't know why people are ignoring Alshire. Maybe it's just because it's hard to pronounce his name. It's not spelled the way it sounds, you know? So I think with Edgerrin Cooper, there's a rawness there that could either be rawness or sometimes guys just actually, some linebackers just, they're more hustle than they are actual instinct. And I wonder with sometimes with Edgerrin Cooper, he does a lot of things right, and he's got that lust for contact that I know D'Amico loves. There's some parts about his game that really need to be refined when it comes down to keys and reads and taking the proper angles and all of that. And I think you got to bank on D'Amico getting a feel for, all right, is this something that's innate or is this something that can be learned?
Yeah.
And his experience as a linebacker and as a linebacker's coach is going to have to be the judge of that. So if they take Cooper, I'll trust that D'Amico feels like, okay, yeah, there's something here that I can refine and mold.
I as somebody who, you know, who is really excited for the Texans to add some pieces in the front seven possibly in this draft, the big thing that gets me excited is the fact that I feel like if there's a person in the NFL, not just a coach, like a person in the NFL,
yeah,
head coach, position coach, that's going to get the most out of defensive linemen and linebackers, it's D'Amico Ryans.
I guess, you know, the one thing that makes me nervous about it is that it would be for the very reason they're drafting Edgerrin Cooper would be because all of those things that I said that might be downsides for Edgerrin Cooper, those are Henry Toa's downsides.
Yeah, yeah.
I was kind of surprised, honestly, when I was watching Henry Toa this year. I'm like, I did not expect him to be taking this many bad angles to the ball or to be this bad at tackling or to be doing a lot of these linebacker type things as bad as he's doing. And, you know, like that would be kind of admitting that, all right, you didn't judge that one properly. That was a later pick.
Fifth round pick.
So it's not as big a deal. But yeah, I guess that's the part that makes me a little extra nervous about Cooper.
Let's do pick 59 here in Chris Trapasso's mock draft. With the 59th pick in the Chris Trapasso CBSSports.com mock draft. Okay, this is interesting. Mason McCormick, interior offensive lineman, South Dakota State. And this is what he says. As a six-year player at South Dakota State, McCormick enters the NFL with a high floor, and he can be the eventual Shaq Mason replacement at guard. Now, keep in mind, in this particular mock, the very next pick is Braden Fisk from Florida State.
You know what I'm going to say about Mason McCormick? Okay, for one, nobody from South Dakota State is a high floor. What the hell are you talking about? Like, based on what? Like, what? Honestly, what the hell are you basing that off of?
The game against Northern Iowa.
Yeah. The other is
fill in FCS school.
Same as Trevor Penning last year. You come from an FCS school. No, you don't have a nasty streak. You've got a bullying streak, which is fine. You can have both a nasty streak and a bullying streak, but it's not real until you actually see it versus full-grown men. There's nothing I hate more. Now, this is my personal bias. I despise dudes who think they're badass, like nasty streak offensive linemen in college. Because usually it's like, no, you're beating up on small kids.
Even at the big schools.
You're beating on 230-pound defensive linemen, right? And like just how you can have it with Trevor Penning last year. Or 2 years ago, and it's continued to happen. Those Saints defensive linemen were like, oh, you're Mr. Tough Guy, are you?
Right.
And they beat him into the dirt, and he continued to get beat into the dirt all over the place. Now, that was a first-round pick, which made it especially deplorable that the Saints took a guy who was an obvious squid. Like, go to the Senior Bowl. Trevor Penning was getting his ass kicked. They drafted him because Sean Penning had a... Sean Payton.
Yeah.
I would be skeptical of McCormick and his nasty streak and his high floor coming from South Dakota State.
Let's pretend you take the name out of it and the high floor and all that other stuff. Let's just say, nameless interior offensive lineman and Braden Fisk on the board, and you've got equal grades on both of them. Who are you taking? Are you taking the interior offensive lineman or taking Braden Fisk?
I would take Braden Fisk just because I do feel like I still feel good about Juice Scruggs at center. I think he's going to be a much better center than he was as a rookie guard playing out of position. And then I think like the three-person competition at guard right now between Kendrick Green, Kenyon Green. It's so hard for me to get those.
Jarrett Patterson. Yeah.
The two K
Greens.
They
need to cut one of those guys.
And Jarrett Patterson.
Just to save your.
One of the K Greens?
Sanity, yes. Yeah, they're going to need to cut one of them.
They really, I feel like this is Nick's little.
Or just treat them like Siamese twins.
Yeah, I kind of got Nick on that zinger once a couple years ago in one of our interviews.
I do.
Where I basically.
He kind of was playfully joking with you about your caliber of player you were.
Yeah. That's right. It was pretty good. It was a good one. But I kind of went back at him. I feel like this is his subtle way of getting back at me is...
Having two guys that have basically the same name?
Yeah. Not to mention the whole D'Amico, Nico, and Danico.
Yeah.
All of them being on the same team.
Even Daniil getting mixed in there, too.
I'm okay. It's the eco part that gets me. The ecosystem.
All right, there you go. Some mockaroos for you right there. We're not going to be able to do these for a while after this. All right, up next... Quarterback drama near the top of the draft. No drama at the top. 1, 2, and 3 all go as a lot of people predicted. Some people will say the drama started at pick number 8 with Michael Penix Jr. Did it actually start the quarterback drama at pick number 6 based on audio we played yesterday? We will have it for you coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. It is day 2 NFL draft. I'm sure the phones are being worked all over the league, including over at NRG Stadium, as the Texans sit right now, set to pick 42nd overall, 10th tonight. They have the 10th pick in the second round tonight, so we'll see what happens. We'll talk more about that between now and the top of the hour before we hand it over to John and Landry. We've got you covered all day long here on the draft, including coverage of the draft tonight out at the draft party downtown on the Avenidas right there in front of the George R. Brown Convention Center. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris, and Seth Payne on the coverage. So... The first three quarterbacks were the story last night league-wide. 1, 2, and 3 are all quarterbacks. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May all go 1, 2, and 3. So after a lot of talk about the Patriots might move out of 3 or, Jaden Daniels doesn't want to go to Washington, there was a lot of that going on this week. It turns out that that's where everybody ends up going. Caleb Williams to Chicago, Jaden Daniels to Washington. Drake May goes to New England. I think the thought had been that J.J. McCarthy would be the next one up. That certainly was what the odds makers were thinking when they put J.J. McCarthy's forecasted draft slot at 5.5 over under. So I think the thought was, well, somebody's going to move up and get that pick from Arizona or the pick from the Chargers at 4 or 5 and get J.J. McCarthy. That didn't happen. Nobody moved into the top 5. Now, 6 was the Giants. And I thought at that point, well, this looks like a logical spot for J.J. McCarthy, because on the Rich Eisen show, J.J. McCarthy said this.
So where are you going? Any idea?
I mean, I have somewhat of an idea. New York Giants, I've spent the most time with. You know, they're a phenomenal staff. Love Coach Dable. Love, you know, Mr. Shane. Love Coach Tierney. Coach Kafka, Chicago guy. Just being able to go in there, pretty much know, like, most of the install, because he came, Coach Dable came from Alabama, and Coach Gattis came to Michigan from Alabama. So it's similar formations, motions, plays, all that stuff. So being able to get that install in has been great. You know, I met with them twice. It's been amazing.
there's a lot of issues I had with him being that forthcoming about a team that already does have a quarterback in Daniel Jones. There's a certain part of just reading the room or understanding the situation. I felt like he shouldn't have been speaking that liberally about it. I also, if I were the Giants, I don't know if I'd liked how confident he was that he knew most of the install already. I like a certain, we talked about this earlier. One of my favorite things about CJ is a sense of humility. Like, he knows that there's things he doesn't even know that he doesn't know. Like, that there's just constantly more to learn. I don't like somebody having that cavalier an attitude about, they'll roll right in here and pretty much just, you know.
I already know it. Yeah, it's going to be cool that I can actually teach it to the coaches, pretty much, you know.
Pretty much an automatic transmission right here.
Right.
He's going to turn the key and
J.J. McCarthy.
Put it on D and let's go.
The automatic transmission. That's a good nickname for a quarterback. I don't know that that cut necessarily scared the Giants off of J.J. McCarthy or anything like that. But it was interesting last night when the Giants were up that, you know, they opted to go. They not only opted to stay away from a quarterback, they went and got a weapon for the quarterback that they've got right now.
It's been tough for me with J.J. McCarthy because there's part of me that wants to stick up for him. Because a lot of people talk about, well, they didn't ask him to do this or they didn't ask him to do that. And yet, when they did ask him to do some of those things they say they didn't ask him to do, he did them really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
They were the classically infuriating, oh, it's 2nd and 13. Let's be sure we get another run in.
Yeah, no.
And then it was up to J.J. McCarthy on 3rd and 27 to bail him out. And he did that at times, and he had some very big moments. He just didn't do it with as much consistency as other teams. It was like an extreme version of CJ, really, where like they did things really well that you couldn't credit to the quarterback, so people start assuming, well, the quarterback can't do it.
Yeah.
I wanted to stick up for him there, but then on the other hand, I've got your punchable face index.
Yeah.
He's got a very punchable face.
Oh, yeah, on the PFI? Yeah, he's like a 15 on a scale of 1 to 10.
Not as high as Drake May, but he's up there.
I don't know, man. Last night was pretty punchable.
Who was sitting next to him? His girlfriend? I think it was his girlfriend sitting
next to
him.
Yeah, I think so.
Boy, it's just, I'm ashamed at how much time I spend analyzing interactions between the girlfriend and the mother. The one, was it Fashanu? The offensive lineman whose mom looked like she was boxing out the girlfriend.
Oh, my God. She kept trying. The girlfriend was sitting. Yeah, the mom was in between the two of them.
Yeah.
The girlfriend kept just trying to reach around and touch his thigh just to congratulate him. And the mom's, like, sticking her hip out. And, like, it was crazy.
It was. She was doing everything except swatting away the hand.
Dude, the replies are hilarious on that. Some of them we can't read, but the replies are really, really funny. If you can find
it's
a tweet
so
of the
awkward,
video.
Though, man.
Yeah,
it's so awkward.
It's really awkward.
Oh, I'm so glad that I wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Did you?
I really am. I really am. Oh, my God. I swear. Oh, I have to see them. My girlfriend, high school girlfriend was gone within, like, 3 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Those moments are...
That's beautiful.
I got one taste of the real world. I was like, hey, I ain't coming home no more.
Right.
I called up her dorm room. Like, hey, put what's her name on the phone. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I ain't never coming back there no more.
Did you see that Dave Tepper, the owner of the Carolina Panthers, apparently yesterday, this is a true story, Panthers owner Dave Tepper. I'm looking at the Charlotte Observer right now.
Yeah.
There's a bar in Charlotte called Dilworth Neighborhood Grill, and they put up a sign.
It says, please let the coach and GM pick this year.
Yes, thank you. The paywall is killing me on the Charlotte Observer right now. And he drove by, and apparently that bar has been throwing all kinds of shade at the Panthers all year long.
Yeah.
Apparently he stopped in the bar, and he was none too happy with the signage. I've heard varying stories from he was really angry to he was just annoyed by it and just wanted to come in and pay a visit kind of thing, you know, just show his face.
Yeah.
Feels very Dave Tepper to me.
If
I had to rank my owners on a scale of 1 to 32, most likely to take umbrage with a sign outside the bar.
So this is confirmed by the Charlotte Observer, because on Twitter you never know. Like, I thought it. This is almost too perfect. This is like what Patrick Storm sometimes puts, like, things that he thinks are obviously jokes out there, but it's just plausible enough that you're like, oh, wait a second, is this actually... So I thought it was almost like a Patrick Storm type of tweet.
No, there's...
This actually happened. There, okay.
Kyle Bailey, who's a host, he's been on this show, Kyle Bailey, WFNZ, yeah. Our sister station, he tweeted about it yesterday. So it's...
So the guy that Brock Saturno, who also tweeted about it, said, poor hostess at the front was clearly confused on who he was. Finally, the manager or bartender walked over. They went to the side, and you could see Tepper arguing about the sign.
Dude. Dude. Think about that.
I told you I was happy I wasn't a first-round draft pick. I'm happy I'm not a billionaire.
You've said that before.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Like, there's not a single part of me that wants to be a billionaire. Because, A, the level of psychosis that it typically takes to get there isn't worth, like, nothing. Once you get to a billion, it's not like you're happy then. And then once you get to 50 billion, it's not like you're happy then. But this Dave Tepper. So Dave Tepper's stopping in to argue with, apparently, according to people, the place is owned by a Pats fan. This Patriots fan is not going to be like, oh, I didn't realize that you were the owner
down.
Of the Panthers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Someone texts in yet another Tepper tantrum. Oh, is that what they call him? That's really good.
Tepper tantrum, yeah.
I'll tell you what. This is, there is a way to localize this story right here about Tepper, because think about this. This time a year ago, this time a year ago, the Panthers and the Texans are picking back to back at the top of the draft. Now, granted, the Panthers traded up to get that number one overall pick, but it was still a bad football team.
Yeah.
And they were picking 1 and 2. And one of them took Bryce Young and the other took CJ Stroud. And now the owner of the team that has CJ Stroud, owners, I'll call, Cal and Hannah, are having parties celebrating new uniforms where Hall of Fame players are coming out with gigantic diamond-encrusted medallions to put around their necks like it's a coronation.
Yeah.
At a huge party where there's rappers and everything else that are a salute to the godfather, Cal McNair, and the first lady of football, Hannah McNair. Dave Tepper is walking into bars to argue about signs that are in front that are throwing shade at his dog crap football team.
The last thing I really saw of Dave Tepper even speaking, like when I clicked on it, was last year when Steve Smith, so former great wide receiver for the franchise, was just, how Steve Smith is. Steve Smith is not going to hold back based on whoever he's talking to or anything. Steve Smith was just flat out telling Dave Tepper that he's got to stop checking his mentions so much on social media. He was just flat out saying, like, I don't know what you're doing. Like, why? You got to lay off, man.
That's funny.
David, that's when you realize you're a billionaire. Oh, as a billionaire, you should have the wherewithal to understand that you're never going to win some battles.
No.
You're never going to win certain battles. And just so stop trying to fight every battle. Well, it's just not, especially on social media. When on earth do you think you're going to win that battle? It will never happen.
And he chooses this life. He chooses to be as front-facing as he is. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to be in the spotlight when you're a billionaire owner of a team. But there's degrees to which you inject yourself into the storylines and whatnot.
Yeah, Tepper's the worst kind of rich person. There's an old story of Kurt Vonnegut, the author, who's talking to Joseph Heller, who's an author. He wrote Catch 22.
Yeah.
And they're at this party hosted by a super rich dude. And Kurt Vonnegut kind of made some kind of comment about how this guy makes more money. He wasn't being a jerk, but he was just remarking to Joseph Heller that this rich guy's made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his incredibly popular Catch 22 book over its entire history. Joseph Heller responds, yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough. Yeah, just true. Yes. There's a lot of wisdom in that right there.
That's a good one. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
They're both dead now, but still, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody there.
It happens.
No, that's the point. That rich guy, Kurt Vonnegut, Joseph Heller, all dead. They all have the exact same amount of money.
How much were they allowed
now.
To bring with them after they died of all that?
None that I'm aware
of.
Yeah,
me neither.
Don't know for sure that you can't. People love to say that, well, you can't take it with you when you die, but that's not proven.
Right, yeah. There could be an ATM at the pearly gates right there. Like, oh, crap.
I don't carry cash anymore.
I don't even have my card with me.
Dude, you know heaven is run that way too. It's like one of those places, it's like it's been around forever and they were like the last to start taking credit cards. They're just like, oh, cash only. Yeah. They thought it had a charm for a while. Thanks. And then after a while they're like, all right.
I was told this was paradise.
Like, you realize after you get there too, we're like, when was the last time they updated the decor?
Yeah.
You're like, is this like that fake wood grain paneling from the 70s?
Right, yeah, the curtains. Can we do something? About the curtains. Predictions, thoughts for tonight. I've got one big prediction about what I think Nick Caserio is going to do tonight in day two of the draft. And I will tell you what that is, and we'll give you our thoughts, who they're going to take, all that as we head towards the top of the hour. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Right, getting you ready for tonight. Day 2 of the draft is tonight. Party downtown. Hope to see you there. John Harris, Mark Vandermeer, Seth Payne, they're all on the call for tonight's draft.
You want to talk about attention to detail? Mark Vandermeer just asked me, hey, do you have a pass to get in tonight? It's like, no, I don't. So now we are, between the two of us, we got it dialed in. I'll be there.
Okay.
I'm not going to have to breach a checkpoint or anything.
So he got you your pass? You're good to go?
I assume that he will.
Okay.
I assume that he will.
Sometime before 6 o'clock, I'll have that pass. I have a prediction for tonight, and it's not player-related. It's not they're going to take this guy or that guy. I mean, we can talk about the guys on the board here for the Texans. And in the loop, John and Landry will be in here shortly. I think they have 3 picks right now, 42, 59, 86. I think they're going to wind up picking more than 3 times tonight. They've got 2 picks in the 4th round. I think Nick moves up from the 4th into the 3rd tonight. One time.
I like your thinking.
Well, it's because of what I said before. And I know there's 2 schools of thoughts on the complete lack of underclassmen in this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're going to consolidate a little bit. I think they're going to, you know, like there's a lot of players in that meaty part of 40 through 8, you know, 40 through 90 there.
This is the big question, because I told I think Figgy phrased it perfectly yesterday when the guys were having a discussion about this Diana Russini. At the time, it wasn't even a report. It was just kind of her
looking at his history.
Yeah, like her
Nick's history.
She kind of felt like Nick was probably calling around. Now, during the draft, she said that he was calling around trying to get up into the first round. But at the time, I think is like trying to move up into the first round is different than the way Figgy phrased it, which I think was probably more appropriate, which is that Nick is just looking for a sucker.
Sucker searching.
I think he's always looking for a sucker, you know, like he wants to find something where the trade value based on his chart. Because all the teams have their own little tweaks on the chart that he can just find some value there and moving around a little bit. And I just wonder this year if enough teams feel like, well, the back half of this draft, like rounds 5 through 7, really just aren't that strong. I think they're just there might not be a good market for consolidating and moving up.
Maybe.
The 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks that you would use to trade up, it's just it's not going to be as cost efficient this year.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Now we're getting super drafty.
Now it's maybe it's wishful thinking to me. I'm just hoping for a like. I liked sitting and watching the draft last night, very relaxed. That was fun. You're able to joke about stuff. You can flip around between the different feeds. You're not all worried about, you know, like, oh, when are the Texans going to be on the board?
Tonight, if the Texans pick 3 or 4 times, we got to put out videos after each one and everything. So you're kind of, you don't get to really watch the draft because you're fixated on your team. Yeah. Last night we got to sit back and just actually enjoy everything.
It was chill. It was chill. And yet, I wake up this morning like, I'm kind of itching to make a pick here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And because of that, I'm itching to make 4 picks, not just 3. So that's, maybe it's wishful thinking for
that's
me.
That's where, you know, what does Lopez always call Casario? There's a computer or a robot or whatever it is.
Cyborg, maybe?
Saying it in a complimentary way. Yeah, but I think that's where, like, Nick is not emotionally tied to the draft any more than free agency, any more than undrafted rookie free agents, like trades. Of all the different avenues, he always talks about, look, it's just a way to get a player into the building.
That's right.
The phrase he uses more than anything is, we just want to get a guy in the building and see what he is.
Yep.
And he looks at everything, whether it's a free agency signing, a draft, anything, is like, okay, it's a way to get a guy in a building and see if it works out. And he's very humble and realistic about the fact that they don't all work out. So I think, like, of all people that, like, I don't think Nick's emotionally affected by it the same way we are.
No.
Where we're just agitating, like, No. We got to draft somebody.
He slept fine last night.
If Nick woke up and somebody called him with an incredible deal to move into like nothing but 2025 picks, he'd take it.
If it was a great deal.
If it was a ridiculous deal. If somebody wanted to trade him like a 1st, 2nd, and 3rd next year, there wouldn't be any hesitation. You're like, yeah, we're done. Okay, we're done for the year.
Yeah.
You want all of our draft picks for like two first rounders and 2 second rounders in the next year. Yep, we're done.
He is a robot like that. Yeah. He really is. Someone says maybe it's Bill O'Brien PTSD talking here, but I can totally see the Texans reaching on a tight end like Cade Stover from Ohio State. Had versatility and ran with CJ for a bit. I think Cade Stover is on the board for the Texans. I think Cade Stover is a possibility with that 3rd round pick.
Yeah, I think 100% he's available.
They need a tight end.
They need a tight end. Now, I don't know if they need another tight end that nobody even makes a show of acting like he might someday be a good blocker. And that's the thing that worries me about Cade Stover. I don't even see anything. People don't even try to say like, well, yeah, he can develop at it and he wants to be a good blocker. And they don't even bother with that. I think they just write it off as like, yep, there's one of those new age modern ain't going to block nobody type of tight end.
That is one position that is drastically different this year from last year. Remember all those tight ends last year?
Yeah.
That went like middle of the 1st or like late 1st round through the 2nd round right there. Man, this is like Brock Bowers and then a gigantic cavern to the next tight end.
You know what angers me about Cade Stover? Is that he's a farmer.
Right.
And yet he doesn't seem to have an aptitude or care to block people. Like, I feel like that's like everything that you would like if you hear like, oh yeah, this guy's a farmer, raised as a farmer, tough, knows how to work, all that other stuff. I feel like it's in direct. He might have gotten booted off the farm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him about this if the Texans come here. As a farm kid myself.
Yeah.
There's certain.
You're uniquely qualified to grill him.
Right. There's certain stuff. Like, you're supposed to be cool doing the stuff that nobody else wants to do because you were raised doing the stuff that nobody wants to do. Yeah. Like, there's a certain part of, like, when you grow up working on a farm, one of the best things you have going for you is that nothing that you do in football will ever feel nearly as awful as like the stuff you had to do working on a farm.
Yeah.
You're hardly almost never elbow deep in manure on a hot summer day in football, other unless you're talking about consorting with journalists. Yeah. Other than that,
journalists.
Yeah, yeah. So it bothers me that they call him Farmer Gronk, and yet he's not into blocking.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Dwight Schrute would be livid at Stover. LOL.
Well, you know my issue with Dwight Schrute.
What's that?
That whole Hayville or whatever they had.
Yeah.
It was straw. It wasn't, they had, what was it called? It was Hay Town or whatever. It was supposed to be all like a bunch of hay everywhere and everything, and it was all straw.
Are we about to get into a chimp gorilla thing again? What's the difference between hay and straw?
Okay. Straw is like the shaft of a wheat plant, and it's much easier to sit on, and everything is not as scratchy as hay.
Okay.
Hay is like alfalfa. You're usually alfalfa.
Hay
is
prickly.
A lot scratchier, harder, heavier. The bales are not much more prickly. Yeah.
Okay.
You know what? It's not as much fun to sit on a hay bale as it is a straw.
Okay.
You certainly don't want to... You'd much rather make love in a mound of straw than hay.
That's what I really wanted to know.
Unless you're into like super...
What's better to knock boots on?
Yeah.
hay or straw. Okay. I use them interchangeably. Is that worse than me using chimp and gorilla interchangeably?
No,
like I did
not
last
knowing
week?
Chimp and gorilla is worse.
Because your wife didn't know it either.
Yes, she did.
You said that you talked to Brandy after I said that, and she said it wasn't the craziest thing, that I didn't know the difference.
Yeah, but she knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't have married her if she didn't know the difference between a chimp and a
that
gorilla.
That would have been enough to...
How would she ever read it? That would tell me that she's never read a children's book.
So she knew...
Like, she's never read a children's book to one of her nephews.
She knew the difference, but she was sympathetic to my stupidity.
Yeah, she's always nice. She always tells me, like, Seth, you're being a jerk to Sean. Like, there's lots of people that probably don't know the difference between a chimp and a gorilla, okay?
Okay.
Lots of people are face blind.
I thought Brandy was one of my people.
To other primates and great apes.
I thought Brandy was one of my people, not someone who felt sorry for me.
Would you be able to tell the difference between a gorilla and an orangutan?
Yeah, orangutans have red hair.
Yeah, orangish, yeah.
Yeah,
and they got
yeah.
much longer
They're
arms.
Gingers.
Yeah, they're gingers. Orangutans are pretty identifiable.
Yeah. Yeah, longer limbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you said a pretty healthy portion of the people that responded to your poll didn't know the difference between a gorilla and a chimpanzee.
I don't remember.
Too.
I don't remember the results. I think I put it up and said, I don't know if I want to look at this.
Would you marry a woman if she didn't know the difference between a gorilla and a chimpanzee?
God, no.
Okay. Now, the next question. Would you continue to host a radio show with somebody?
Sean
well,
didn't know
that. If you pressed me into action.
If you
and
paid
said,
me to host a show it, with you, Sean. It,
thanks, John. I appreciate that. And if you put a picture in front of me and said which is a chimp and which is a gorilla,
yeah.
I would know the difference.
Okay.
I just happen to use them interchangeably that
okay.
day.
Is this... Oh, dang it. I got it. Hold on. Don't look.
Okay.
I got to get that.
You see the video I posted when we were in Costa Rica of that monkey that came to visit us?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
Actually, it wasn't a monkey, but it kind
of was. Is this a chimpanzee or a gorilla?
That's a chimp.
Okay. You're
yeah,
good,
that's
then.
A chimp.
Okay, good. You were very quick with
that's
that.
That's a chimp. Yeah.
There's no mention of chimpanzee on
that's a chimp.
I know that.
No, I know them. I just use them interchangeably.
They actually describe it like they're like, wow, the 10 taxonomical features.
Is it a marsupial?
I don't know. That's an animal that has a sack that carries their offspring in.
Very good.
Thanks.
Very good.
So are human males, but still. Very half an offspring.
Hey, what'd you think of last night, man?
Dude, I think it's better than, and you guys have been covering it, but I mean, I think it's even better than we could have imagined.
Yeah.
Like better even than we're saying. Like in the moment, like I saw your tweet. Yeah, was it last night, this morning, whatever. Boy, it couldn't have gone better. And I'm like, yeah, and yes, and I think it's even better than that. Like, I think because if you go, like, every running back is still available. I mean, you guys are talking about this, but it's just like, you couldn't have drawn it up better.
I think this is where the trade back into the second round made a lot of sense. If what you're hoping to do is get defensive backs, defensive tackles, linebackers, like all of this stuff, I think that Nick read it right. Now, there was more reports, actual reports from Diana Russini last night saying that the Texans were trying to trade back up into the first or was making calls.
I think that was a ruse.
I think the way Figgy phrased it was perfect is that he's looking for a sucker. Like Nick is constantly on the lookout for a sucker of a deal. And if somebody and the only way to find out if somebody really wants to get out is to put it out there. Yeah.
But either way, kind of a ruse. Like
they might have made
my
it
whole say, thing yeah. is they run such a tight ship over there.
Yeah.
For that to get out to Russini was not an accident.
I mean, well,
she could be getting it from whoever he's calling.
Somebody's
too,
saying
you know?
That like these guys are yeah, somebody yeah. a couple
are
other GMs
me.
Are telling
yeah.
her that
Yep. That could very well be.
You know
the
who
case.
That is? Freaking Monty Austin douche from
Monty Austin.
We won't shut up about all the interactions
and Ryan
with the Texans.
Poles yeah. calling up. Do you want to do an interview with me right now?
Austin Ford seems like a nice guy, but he's annoyed me in some of the stuff that he just makes so public with his dealings with
it's the Arizona social media. media team that's annoying you, because that video came out last year.
That's right.
It made Monty Ossenfort look like the love child of Ted Thompson and Bill Polian.
It was,
and he's getting, they made Nick on the other end look like, oh, sure, I'll throw another first in.
They took one side of like multiple phone conversations that happened over hours and made it look like over the course of 30 seconds, Ossenfort just worked
him.
Got him to throw in the extra first and all that other stuff.
How about your firstborn son? Okay.
Sounds good to me.
I was thinking second, but okay.
Okay. Yeah. No, that was good, man. The trades, the whole sequence of trades, like, I think tonight you put the final bow on everything once you've seen it all play out on the field. But as far as like the season we're in right now, like tonight at 42 or whatever stems off of 42, you know, because they may move up a little bit or up back a little, probably up. That's when we'll be able to like actually apply names to all this stuff now. You know what I mean? Like with all the picks and everything else.
So. I actually don't see how they can fail.
No, they have to do a totally out of the box pick that people hate.
We looked at a few different best player available lists, and it's kind of like, okay, the Texans have the 10th pick tonight, and you go through the top 10 to 20 names, you're like, all right, if they take any of these guys, I think people are going to approve.
And a few are going to fall to 59, too. What's up, Landry?
What's up, man?
You look ready to go, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. Yeah, man. I'm very excited. I think it went about as good. I think a lot of the discussions that would have been had at 23 are being had today, which kind of validates the decision to trade back 19 spots.
Yeah, that was going to be big for me last night. Is like, okay, the clock starts at 23. How do I feel right now about everything that's out there? And I felt like, okay, there are some good players out there. But
Landry, what can you tell us really briefly about like Adonai Mitchell or Jordan Whittington or any of the other Texas guys?
I think Mitchell's the best receiver that Texas had last year. I don't think they involved him enough, and I think that Jatavion Sanders is going to be good tight end in the league for sure, and Whittington can make a squad for sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.